so that they would bear witness to the very nature and action of the Father. You remember? It was all about freedom, a life of freedom, a freedom not to disobey the law, but to fulfill the law, or what the law was all about. Life in the Spirit that gives us freedom to live in the way that God designed. Life is not found in all that the world has to offer. We know, as Steve so aptly said, this leads to a dead end, literally. Instead, we surrender our wills, saying to the Spirit of God, come and fill me that I might indeed bear witness to the Father. Last week, we looked at love. This week, joy. So come, let's spend a few minutes looking at what joy is. And then I want to dive into a text that I think God wants to use for our growth this week in John 21. So what is joy? The dictionary defines joy as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. I want you to think of a number of situations when you felt that great pleasure and happiness. My guess, it won't take you too long to do that. Here's a couple for me. I remember the first one that I'm going to talk about, being in a soccer match in Brazil with Matthew. 75,000 people. Why did it produce joy in me or happiness in me? Because I love soccer. The game ended and all 75,000 went their own way. Or there was another time that I experienced this feeling of pleasure. I remember being in grade 8 and being in a speech competition in the school. And at the end of the whole event, I had been the last one standing. I won the trophy. I remember the feeling that was there until the next day I showed up at class and there were more assignments that we had to do and I didn't win the next round. Or I remember another time when I was in university when I had this overwhelming feeling of happiness. It was down to my last few dollars and I had developed some kind of illness and needed some prescription medication. I didn't know how I would pay for it. I went to my university mailbox, opened it up, and there somebody had put into my mailbox the exact amount that I needed to get the prescription. I have no idea to this day who did it or how they even knew, but God knew. My needs were met, at least for the moment. You see, friends, joy is not just a feeling about something that happens, but rather it's a state of being that comes from living into God's story. See, being with people like us, sporting event, concert, people that like the same things, it can bring about a feeling of happiness, but joy comes when we belong to a group of people that live into God's story together. We can feel happy when circumstances go our way, like winning an award. They'll bring that sense of elation or that emotion that gets stirred up. But joy comes when we are participating in God's purposes for the sake of others. Happiness comes when we get our needs met, like the $20 that I received in the box that day at university. But joy comes when we're in the presence of the one who knows what we really need all the time. Where do we find this joy? It's found in belonging to a people. I'm sure each of us have felt the emotion when we sit like I did with my family a number of years ago. I remember it so clearly, so vividly, as if I was experiencing it almost just a couple of minutes ago. We were there for lunch. I don't remember the occasion. But we were sitting in the restaurant and I looked at my family. And even though there was laughter going on around the table, it wasn't that feeling of happiness that was sparked in me that day. No, it was something much deeper. I had a deep sense of joy and gratitude that I belong to these people and they to me. The same is true about Southside. Oh, there are moments of happiness, like Wednesday evening when I got reports from the different groups and all that God was doing in our groups around generosity. There's moments of frustration and disappointment as well. Happens in our nuclear families and happens in our life together as church. But what brings joy to me is the fact that I belong to you. Why? Because you and I are in Christ together. not because we like a certain kind of music or a sport or the fact that it was 28 degrees here yesterday and I was talking to people in Toronto and it was snowing. No, what brings joy is that together we are in Christ. Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 2. You know the verse as well. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, one in and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Joy is found also in participating in a purpose. You know, people talk about getting, being happy or getting great, you know, having that emotion when they go to parties. Most people like parties. Secular parties produce all kinds of feelings of pleasure and happiness. I'm not sure they produce joy. See, those are temporary feelings that come from altered states often. Not all parties are like that. Birthday parties have a different sort of purpose to them. But one of the things that brings the joy is being tied to belonging to a people. This is true of the kingdom of God. Friends, we should have the best parties going. Not because a feeling of pleasure or altered state. Although Jesus did produce some wine. But because we belong to a people who live into God's purposes. My friend Chris Wright made a comment in a webinar the other day. He said, the gospel is us saying to other people, don't miss the best party around. You read through the Old Testament and all you can see are these feasts and festivals that God invited his people into. Week-long parties that they were supposed to absolutely have a hoot and celebrate life lived in God's purposes. Same thing with the Sabbath. Sabbath is not this prudish kind of don't do anything fun. No, in Sabbath we're to party. We're to celebrate the reality that we're in God's presence and his purpose. But do note that all the way through the Old Testament, when you read of the feasts and festivals that the Jews held and spent so much money on, it was always inclusive of others. It was always for the sake of others. It was always to celebrate God and his goodness, to make his glory known. There's this incredible passage in Hebrews chapter 12, that first few verses that say it like this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud, great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. Where else is it found? It's found in dwelling in his presence. You see, we've reduced God to this genie who's there to meet our needs. When he does, we're happy. When he doesn't, we wonder what happened to him, where he went. Maybe he didn't get the memo. But he's much more than that. And he deserves all of our worship. And joy comes from being in his presence, not just what he does for us. So we can say with the psalmist that better is one day in his house than thousands elsewhere. Or we can sing songs like Come and See the Beauty of the Lord, where we celebrate being in his presence. Or we experience getting up early, being present with him as we pore over scripture or sing songs of worship. For when we learn to adore him for who he is, he becomes Lord, not just genie. When we learn to give thanks to him for what he's done, we realize it is not just in the things, but in it, it's in who he is. When we learn to be obedience, when we learn to have obedience, we continue to put our confidence in him, surrendering to him, and our faith is fostered. John 15, 16, and 17 are full of Jesus at the Last Supper, talking to his disciples about life to the fullest life full of joy. At one point in chapter 17, he says to the Father in his prayer, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they, that's us, may have the full measure of my joy within them. Well, friends, in the last few minutes, I want to look at John chapter 21. God's used this passage over the course of this week to speak to me and to speak to a number of others. And I want to just go through this story quite quickly. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 21. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this story, make a few comments before we close. So listen to the scripture, John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he'd taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. I don't have time to discuss all the details of the story, but let me draw your attention to just a number of highlights I believe help us to understand what joy is all about. We need to understand that we belong to a people. You see, Peter's a leader, always has been, always will be. He finds himself with six other disciples by the Sea of Galilee. He's home. It's been a crazy journey, especially the last number of weeks where he had thought all of his confidence in Christ had been dashed. His emotions had been like a roller coaster. Jesus was arrested. He wanted to fight back. Jesus was taken to be tried. And instead of the courage that Peter prided himself about, he lacked the courage to even say that he knew Christ 3 times. And on the third time, there was that glance from Jesus. Death may have felt less painful. Jesus had had so much confidence in him. He'd renamed him. He'd put his trust in him as a leader. He'd taught him a better way of life. He taught him the importance of people and purpose and dwelling in his presence. And now, how could anyone ever forgive Peter the attitude that he displayed? Jesus had been crucified. That wasn't in Peter's plan. But then things seemed to get even stranger. He had 2 sightings of the resurrected Jesus. But how would Peter ever be restored to the heights of the dreams that Jesus had had for him? Friends, 2 things we need to see in the first few verses of John 21. First, Peter was with a group of people that he belonged to. Oh, true. He'd known some of these men for a lot longer than he'd even known Jesus. He fished with them for a long time. But after 3 years together with Christ, these were his people. Even in the midst of his pain, he found comfort and joy at being among a group that he would do life with. Happiness comes when we are with people who like what we like. Joy comes when we belong to a people who have their identity rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. But there's a second thing that begins to happen in the story that we should make note of. Do you see it? What does Peter do in the midst of his pain? He goes back to what he knows. He finds security and safety in doing what he knows best, fishing for fish. I hope you hear the tones of Luke 5 in the underbelly of this story. He took others with him. Well, he was a leader, wasn't he? He knew how to fish. He knew how to lead people. Well, he wouldn't go back and forget all that had happened with Jesus, but maybe he could go back to the way things were before and forget what he'd done. Enter Jesus, stage, well, at least on the beach. What a thing to say that Jesus starts with. You haven't caught anything, have you? I mean, these guys have been out there fishing all night, and Jesus is straight to the point. But notice he called them friends. Even with them dismissing all that he'd taught and going back to the way things were before, he still calls them friends. Then what does he do? He has the audacity to tell him how to fish again. Didn't he do that in Luke chapter 5? And what happened in Luke 5? Same thing happens here. Once again, they've been at it all night. They're tired. They're grumpy. They've caught nothing. And now this guy, whoever he is on the beach, comes along and tells them to throw their nets on the other side. Without going into all the background of fishing in those days, the one thing you need to know is it was kind of like this. Take somebody, blindfold them, spin them around 25 times, give them a dart, tell them to throw it at a dartboard and see how that works. That's what they would have heard. But what do? They follow instructions. And what happens? They catch more fish than they'd ever caught before. And John comes to the rescue. Or at least it says that in his version of this story. It's the Lord, he says. Notice that he didn't just say it was Jesus. No, he said, it's the Lord. You see, friends, it's always this way. Lasting results come from a life that is obedient to Jesus. If you want to accomplish his purposes, you need to do things in his way. It's not that there's anything wrong with fishing. There isn't. It's just that the purpose of Christ is that we do our jobs for the sake of a greater purpose. And that greater purpose of being in step with him brings joy. Peter, impulsive, impetuous, over the side of the boat before anybody could blink, off he makes a sprint to the beach to be with Jesus. Oh, how he must have longed to put things right with the Lord. How he must have longed for Jesus to forgive him. He leaves John and the rest of them to pull in the boats, to pull in the nets with this miraculous catch. Happiness comes from a big catch of fish. But joy comes from the fruit of a life of purpose that produces fruit when we follow the way of the Lord. Well, one more thing that we have to notice before we quit. Not only does joy come from belonging to a people or participating in a purpose, joy comes from resting or dwelling in his presence. Notice that in the story. Even before Peter and the rest of the disciples return and arrive back at shore with the boats and with the fish, what's Jesus doing? He's making breakfast. Pay attention to how Jesus is cooking the breakfast. It's over a charcoal fire. The last time that Peter saw a charcoal fire was when he denied Christ. There's work to be done. We've got 153 fish. We've got to get them in. We've got to clean them. We've got to deal with them. We've got to sell them, get them ready for market. And Jesus says, no, they can wait. What I want more than anything else right now is for you, Jesus said, to come and rest and to eat with me, so that I can enjoy your company. Happiness is a good breakfast. Joy comes from spending time in the presence of the risen Lord. Southside, there's so many of us like Peter, yearning deep within us to be filled with joy. We were made to experience deep and lasting joy, but for so much of our lives, we look to the things that may produce happiness for a moment, but not joy for eternity. Peter learned that joy is produced by being with God's people. he belonged. He learned that joy comes from fulfilling God's purposes, and he learned that joy comes from being in God's presence. Forgiven, redeemed, restored, transformed. Pure pleasure at being in the presence of Jesus with God's people as they fulfill God's purposes. Nothing is better than that. Let me pray and turn it back to Craig. Lord Jesus, we have joy at belonging to you and to your people. We have joy at the fact that we're participating with you in accomplishing your purposes. But most of all, we have joy because through you, Jesus, we have been redeemed and we have access into your presence at all times. We pray this in the name of Jesus and for his kingdom's sake. Amen.